The fourth and final beast of Daniel chapter 2 has aspects of the three previous beasts all rolled up into one. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thanks for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, and you're listening, of course, to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. Last time, we ended with a couple of verses in Revelation, and I want to start there, so I'm going to read those verses again. Revelation 13, 2 and 3. Here's John speaking and describing what he saw, and he says this, "And the beast which I saw was a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast." Now notice how in the text that I just read, that this particular beast, which is also an empire, which is also referencing an individual who controls or rules over that empire, has aspects of the previous beasts or empires. Elements of previous empires segued into the new empire simply because people from that previous empire remained. The culture itself remained. Languages remained. Now, while leaders and rulers can be replaced with new leaders and rulers, all the vestiges of previous administrations are not eradicated. And that's true of anything in any country, in any company. Now, overall, this particular beast, he was like a leopard, as John describes, but he also had feet like a bear and a mouth like a lion. Clearly, John is saying that this fourth beast had aspects, characteristics of three previous empires. And we know that he's talking about first, Babylon, second, the Medo-Persian Empire, third, the Grecian Empire, and the fourth, the Roman Empire. But for now, we'll just call it the fourth beast. Bear's feet are powerful, firmly planted on the earth, allowing it to rear up on its hind legs. We know that a swipe from a bear's paw can do tremendous damage, even killing an individual. Each beast represents the different empires. Now, a lion, Babylon, has an unmistakable roar that all animals recognize. When it's hurt, animals are going to run for fear of being killed and eaten. The lion is the king of the forest, and all animals know it. They recognize the power of the lion and the bear. Now, the leopard, which coincides or represents Greece, of course, signals speed. And apparently, this final empire that comes after the old Roman Empire, or I guess I should say the last portion of that empire, is something that grows at a very phenomenal pace. Now, the inherent power and ability to deceive through lies and coercion, that's like a magnet to people. The fact that it, the beast, representing a kingdom, also representing an individual who rules over that kingdom, appears to have been slain, one of his heads or empires, as if it had been slain. And this makes this beast even more attractive to people. Now, in today's day and age, we have at least five individuals, six maybe, throughout the world who are relatively known, who are known for believing that they are Jesus Christ. We have them almost on every continent. And what is phenomenal or amazing about this is the amount of people they are able to draw to them. And, of course, it's based on the emotional virtue or the emotional appeal that these individuals give off. People want to be near them. They want to be around them. They hang on every word. It's an emotional response to these people, and it will be like that to the nth degree with the Antichrist. Now, I realize that many people believe that this head, this empire refers to a person, to the Antichrist. In reality, John is talking about a head that represents a particular beast or an empire. We can take it for granted that at the head of every empire is an individual. There's a leader for each empire that has come up through history. And without that particular individual, the empire that they are head of would likely not have existed. At the same time, the Bible here appears to be describing the nature of the empire itself. Now, the Roman Empire was not led by one individual throughout its reign. There were many Caesars who came and went. Many other rulers and leaders took part in ruling over parts of the Roman Empire under Caesar. And we should note that the Roman Empire was really the first empire to have something like this, where they would send their own representatives who were loyal to Rome, and they would become leaders, governors over areas, magistrates. The Babylonian Empire was ruled by one man, Nebuchadnezzar. That's imperialism. What he says goes. Nebuchadnezzar was really above the law. Any law he made, he could change. Not so with the Medo-Persian Empire, which was ruled by two rulers, Cyrus and Darius, at different times. That was a form of imperialism as well, but they were not allowed, once a law was in effect, to change that law. The Grecian Empire was ruled initially by Alexander. And after his death, as I've mentioned previously, that empire was divided into four parts, ruled by four of his generals, but it still remained the Grecian Empire for the time being. The Roman Empire, the fourth beast, instituted something completely new with more of a democracy. It was actually a democratic republic. The United States is a constitutional republic. They're similar, but they're not exactly the same thing. People get that confused. We're not a democracy. We rule through the use of a democracy here in the United States, but we are a constitutional republic, meaning that we take the rule of this land from the Constitution. And people who are elected, who swear to uphold the Constitution, are not doing their job when they do something that circumvents or tries to ignore parts of the Constitution. That's happening a lot in our government these days, almost at all levels. But that's what made Rome and the Roman Empire different from all the others. As one Caesar died, he was simply replaced with another Caesar. There were some good Caesars, and there were a lot of bad ones. At the same time, the final version of the Fourth Empire, the last part of the Fourth Empire or beast that emerges or will emerge from all the previous empires, is unique, and it is different from all the others. Daniel 7, 1 through 7 gives us a more detailed look at the beasts, including the final version of the fourth beast. Now let's pay careful attention to the comparisons. And I believe these descriptions that I'm going to read here, and it's a bit of a lengthy read, stick with me if you can, but open your Bibles too, Daniel 7, 1 through 7. I believe these descriptions are from God's perspective, not man's. Let's see what the text says. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and his visions in his mind as he lay on his bed. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. Human mind also was given to it. Behold, another beast, a second one resembling a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and 3 ribs were given in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, Arise, devour much meat. After this, I kept looking, and behold, another one, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying, and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now notice, unquote, by the way, notice that each empire was different from the one before it, until we get to the fourth beast, that is. So it was with each new successive empire. Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian kingdom became or segued into the Medo-Persian Empire, and then came Alexander the Great, who conquered and took over the Medes and the Persians. There's no way to entirely sweep away all that remains from a previous empire, and who would want to do that, really? Each new empire was different because it had its own character, customs, and even language, but it still incorporated aspects of the previous empire as well. It couldn't be wiped away. As each new ruler rose up to take his place in God-ordained history, he would decide which aspects of the previous empire he would keep and which he would toss out. This is why the Bible indicates that each new empire absorbed aspects of the previous empire, and each previous empire lived on in the newly installed empire. By the time the Roman Empire took its position in history, features of each of the previous empires had remained, but Roman rule added new things to the empire upon which it built itself, making it different from all previous empires. Now notice the text that I just read. It quoted and referenced the Roman Empire. It says, quote, "After this I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns," unquote. This empire is, quote, "dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong." Iron teeth? Well, the legs of Nebuchadnezzar's statue were made of iron, so we're talking about that portion of the statue which is its own beast. It had such ferocity that it crushed and trampled down the remainder of the previous empires with its feet. When we get to the final portion of this final beast, this fourth beast, this is exactly what it's going to do. It will wipe out any remainder of previous empires. Notice also that this empire was different from all previous beasts because it had something none of the others had. It had horns. It had 10 horns. And this appears to be at the final stage of this fourth beast. That has not happened in history yet. The only way you can say that it has happened is if you allegorize this portion of the text. And of course, if we do that, it makes it say something that it really doesn't say. I believe what's being explained here are the changes the Roman Empire, the fourth beast, goes through as it segues into the feet of the statue in Daniel 2. This will occur at the end of this age. And taking a cue from the Jewish sages, there are two ages, the age we are living in now, and the next age, which is the Messianic age, when Messiah reigns. So when this age comes to an end, the new one begins, and that will begin with Jesus reigning for 1,000 years. Now, the Roman Empire was different from previous beasts because of the way it ran its government. It was strong. It will rise, and I think we see this in the European Union, and trample anything in its path, having its own ferocious character and nature. We saw aspects of that when the Roman nature was in its beginning stages. The final stage of the fourth beast is really the Roman Empire come back to life with a vengeance. But how is that going to occur? Well, we will actually talk about that next time when we get together. In the meantime, we need to stop. And I do want to thank you for being part of this show, part of this ministry, by listening. I would appreciate it if you would tell others about it and let them know that Study, Grow, Know is here, and we're at sermonaudio.com. Thank you for listening, and until we meet again, I pray that the Lord will open your eyes and show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.